Welcome to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, where we draw from the words of Romans 15:14 to encourage all Christians that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm your host and director of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, Curtis Solomon. Welcome back to 1514. For those of you who are just joining us, my name is Curtis Solomon. I'm the director of the Biblical Counseling Coalition. It's my pleasure today to have with me John Mark Wieman, who is lead pastor of Cornerstone Community Church in Atascadero, California. Well, I was really blessed to serve as associate pastor for the last 7 years before coming on with the Biblical Counseling Coalition. And I've invited John Mark to talk to us today because I value him as a brother and a pastor, but I think he has a lot of wisdom relating to biblical counseling, as well as some experience in starting a counseling, but also a counseling training program in a church that wasn't a particularly large church at the time, kind of your average church, and just want to get his wisdom on that to share with you. So sit back, listen, or watch, and I pray that's a blessing to you. So John Mark, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to sit down with you again and get to just hash out some of these things. So for our listeners and watchers, tell us a little bit about your family so they can get to know you a little bit.
Sure. I'll start with my name. I got the name John Mark. A lot of people say, oh, your parents gave you a name from the Bible. But actually, I was named for my two grandfathers, one Johann in Germany and my other grandfather Marcos in South America. And they were both deceased before I was born, so I had the honor of taking on Johann Marcos. Hmm. But born in America, so my birth certificate says John Mark, no middle name. So I was raised in Washington, D.C., youngest of six kids, and became a believer at the age of 16 when my identical triplet sisters, had become Christians and started faithfully sharing the gospel with me. And eventually God got my heart, and I embraced Christ as my Savior. Same time, I went to the Naval Academy. I'd received an appointment to the Academy, and as a believer, I really grew a lot spiritually there and met my wife right after I graduated. And she and I are blessed to be married almost 30 years now, and we have four children. Jennifer, who's married to Jake, and they're in South Korea. Jake graduated from the Naval Academy, class of 14, and our next one, and Jennifer graduated from UC San Diego. And then our next one is JP, John Paul, we call him JP. We named him after John Mark and Paula.
Not the recent Pope.
No, not the Pope. And he, JP is a pilot, a Navy pilot, so he graduated Naval Academy class of 2015. He's in Jacksonville, Florida. And then our next son is Austin. He graduated Naval Academy class of 2016, and he broke the mold and went in the Marine Corps. He's an artillery officer. And then Marie is our youngest, and she's graduating from Cal Poly next month, and then is going to apply to veterinary school. So really blessed in that our family is very military, but also very close. We really love each other, and we try to focus on Christ as much as we can and communicate words of Scripture with each other and encourage each other in the faith.
That's phenomenal. Yeah, it's been a blessing to see that from the inside and out with your family as well. It's been a real joy.
Well, you're
to
get a youth pastor for some of those guys.
I know. Jen had just left, and then all the other rest of your kids got to see through youth ministry. It was a blessing to get to know them as well. Mm-hmm. So we might come back to your military experience later on, because I know one of the things I was blessed to learn from you was leadership, and I know some of that is through military, but also obviously with a biblical bent to it for sure. But I want to talk more about biblical counseling in the training center specifically. So tell us a little bit about your current ministry role and what all of that entails.
Sure. So I came here in 2000 to be the senior pastor of the Evangelical Free Church of Atascadero. In 2001, we changed the name to Cornerstone Community Church, a lot easier to say, and also Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. I got certified as a biblical counselor in 1996. Stuart Scott was becoming a fellow, and I was one of his trainees, and I learned a lot from Stuart. He became a very good friend to me, and when I came here, I didn't really advertise I was a counselor, even though my name was on the NANC website. I had to learn how to preach, and so as a solo pastor of a pretty small church, I focused the first 10 years of my ministry really more on learning how to preach sermons and to speak, as well as all the other responsibilities of a pastor. But in time, God started bringing members of the staff here to church, including you, in 2010. You, with your interest in biblical counseling, and then Carrie Folberg, who joined our staff, had got her master's in biblical counseling down at Masters, realized, and you and I were at a conference together, the ACBC conference, and we realized, hey, I think we could start a counseling ministry, a training ministry at our church. So I'm pastor, but also director of the Cornerstone Biblical Counseling Training Center, and our aim is to train people in how to counsel biblically, and we've been able to do that on the Central Coast here in California, for a number of churches have sent people over to get trained.
Mm-hmm. So, backtracking just a little bit, what was it that first interested you in biblical counseling? You got certified in the late 90s, but how did you even find biblical counseling then?
It was interesting. So I'm flying in the Navy, and my brother, he's the oldest of six kids. I'm the youngest. We're the only two boys. He's a Navy pilot, 7 years older than me, so growing up, he was my hero. I want to do what he does. When I saw him flying in the Navy, that's what sparked my interest, and he told me, you should apply to the Naval Academy. And when I went there and graduated, went to flight school, was flying, my brother and his wife were going through a real trial in their marriage, and it looked like they were headed towards divorce. So I'm talking to him over the phone, trying to help them, and I'm thinking, certainly, God has answers for your problems in the Bible. As much as I knew then, I'm trying to counsel them through the scriptures. But I'm miles away. I'm in California. They're in Georgia. And at that time, there was a counselor there. He's since moved down to Alabama, but Lou Priolo was there. And I looked for, counselors from the Bible or something. And somehow, we didn't even have the internet, so I don't know how I found him. But I said, you should go see this guy. And when they went to go meet with Lou, and he gave them hope from God's word, my brother called me and said, wow, this guy was really helpful. You ought to look at going into doing something like this. In fact, he's going to a conference that's going to be down in Los Angeles at Grace Community Church. It was the NANC annual conference. So I went down there and met Lou face to face. And I asked him, I asked Wayne Mack, how does somebody get into biblical counseling? And they asked me, well, what are you thinking? I said, well, I'd like to do this. I'd like to leave active duty Navy and consider doing this as a vocation. And I said, well, you need to go to seminary. So I went to seminary really with the idea of becoming a biblical counselor. And in God's providence, Stuart Scott starts there on staff at Grace Community Church. I'm still flying in the Navy Reserves. I don't really need to work as a lot of students needed to during the day. So I went to Stuart and I said, Stuart, if I could somehow be involved in your ministry just to sit under you and learn from you, is there any possibility we could do something like that? And that's what I did. He brought me in, and then eventually I was paid part-time and learned a lot.
Yeah, praise the Lord. That's great. So going back to in your conversation, you mentioned that conference. I think it was probably 2012 or so, we were at that NANC, I think still at the time, ACBC Now conference, and we both independently went to the information counter to find out about starting a counseling training center. What was that? I know the story, but tell us a little bit. What was that like? How did you go from a church? I think we were probably around 120 people at the time on a Sunday morning to thinking we should start a counseling training center, and just describe how that launch? What did it take to get that off the ground?
So I think the vision for it was that people, first of all, need to know that biblical counseling is a very important and viable ministry of the church. It's really discipleship that's taking place. And so first and foremost, I thought, well, here in our church, we could train people in biblical counseling. There's a certain amount of, level of excellence or authenticity to know that, hey, we're a certified training center. We appreciate the process that ACBC has in place to help, students to get certified if they want to in counseling. And then we contacted ACBC and talked to Wayne Johnston about, okay, what are the steps? Mm-hmm. Then we started working on the syllabus. And so that's where I think if I was just solo, it would have been a bit overwhelming. But to know that I had you, and at this point, you're becoming a certified counselor. Carrie had just gotten her certification. Carrie's husband, John, was a great help in organizing materials as we met. And then we got the syllabus together, and we submitted it to ACBC, and then they approved it. And, I think probably for both of us, I don't know how you feel. I think we may have talked about this, but I was really surprised at the response. Every class in that level one class and level two, every seat taken in the classroom. And probably initially, 50% from our church, 50% from other churches. Now it's probably more like 30% from our church and 70% from 10 to 12 churches in the area. So it's really been a blessing to see how God has done above and beyond what I could imagine at that point.
Yeah, I remember a couple of conversations I had with people, I remember hoping and thinking, man, if we got 25 people in this class, it'd be great. It'd really blow our expectations. And even some people saying, yeah, that's great. But just be ready, a couple of years down the road, it'll start tapering off because they've just had experiences with training in different churches that did that. But that first class, we had a wait list. Yeah. And we had 50 seats open, and then there was a wait list.
Right.
And each level one or level two since then, which is now through three or four rotations, has been a full...
Yeah, it's been three. And we've done a level one, two, and three.
Yeah.
So people have to wait to get into the level one. But the surprising thing was, you may have remembered when we were asking students on the first day, hey, how did you find out about this? There's a lot of word of mouth, but then there were about five or six students who said, oh, on the radio.
Yeah.
And I turned to, hey, who put on the radio? And Dan, one of our other associate pastors, had put it on the radio, and people heard it and came.
Yeah, that was later on, after Dan came, that we started using the radio. But yeah, the word has gotten out, and you mentioned a number of churches from the community. So what was the, when we were thinking through that, I know there was a lot of discussion about, are we a counseling center or a counseling training center? Can you kind of walk maybe somebody who's a pastor and they're thinking through this, some of the thought process behind that and the distinction between the two?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that you have to be real clear up front and understand what's our identity, what's our purpose in doing this. So the training center is the idea of we're training people how to counsel. And so we're multiplying ministry in local churches. We're helping lay people and staff and other churches in our own to learn how to counsel from the Word of God. However, in the community, when the word gets out, people think, oh, a counseling center, and they don't charge.
Yeah.
It's not going to cost us any money, although a lot of people have made donations.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a wait list of people requesting counsel, and we tell them, well, we're a counseling training center. However, if you need help and you don't have another means of getting biblical counsel, we'll put you on a list and use that as training opportunities for the students that are going through our training. So I think revisiting what is our mission, our purpose, is really important. That remember, we're a training center, at least for us.
Mm-hmm.
We're a training center, because if we're just a counseling center, it gets overwhelming, mm-hmm. especially for the staff of the church, because the pastors at the church are doing a lot of the counseling. And the aim and the vision is, no, we're training people up, and then if we have enough trained counselors who want to volunteer their time, mm-hmm. they can. Then we'll have counseling here for people in the community, but again, it's always training opportunities. So we ask the counselee to agree to have an observer in the room, to have... They agree that it's a training opportunity up front. And we also ask them to bring their pastor if they have a local pastor. And, mm-hmm. and so I have a case starting in a few weeks where the pastor is going to come, mm-hmm. and they agreed to having an observer. So I was really thankful that all that was accomplished.
Hit as many birds with that stone as possible.
Yeah,
that's great. But that doesn't mean that people within the church can't pursue counsel. How does the church think through that, the distinction between outreach and kind of inreach in their counseling ministry?
Yeah, that's important too. So as shepherds, leaders, teachers, we are responsible to care for the people in the church. So if someone from the congregation is asking for counsel, we don't tell them, oh, go to the website and get on the wait list. No, you're our sheep, and we have a responsibility as a shepherd to take care of you. So sometimes people get confused about that in the church because they hear about the counseling center, training center, and so they think, oh, to get counsel, I have to go that way. And so we need to remind people, no, you have direct access to us. We are here to help you. The other thing is now that we have people getting trained in counseling, we don't have the time to go to each of their churches and observe them counseling. So we say, well, you can come here and watch us counsel. But even then, I was just telling our staff that the priority is to members of our church first and foremost, because, again, while pastors should be involved in counseling, we can't just, that's all we do, counseling. I still got to write sermons, and I'm doing weddings and funerals and other responsibilities. So trying to get a team of counselors in the church that can help us in that.
Yeah. And then the other side of that, too, because a lot of the people who've gone through the training within the local church, within our context, Cornerstone, aren't necessarily getting certified, and they aren't necessarily sitting down doing formal counseling hours, but you want to develop a culture of counseling / discipleship within the church.
Right.
How's that worked at Cornerstone, and then what are some tips maybe for pastors or churches on creating that culture where every need doesn't go to the pastor?
Yeah. So it's fleshed out in small groups, like we have community groups here at Cornerstone. The leaders have gone through the training so that when issues arise in their Tuesday night meeting in their living room, they don't say, oh, I need to send you over to one of the pastors. They realize, wait, I can help this person. I can give them hope. I can give them counsel. I can try to impart some wisdom from God's word with the decision they're facing. Recently, a single mother has been interested in a gentleman. Well, the community group has really been instrumental in giving her counsel, meeting with this gentleman, getting to know him. So that's a joy to see that happening.
Yeah.
And yet there are still those who have this idea that, oh, problem? You've got to go see the pastor. So it's like, wait a minute. You know, you're friends with that person, and you went through our counseling training. You can help them. Mm-hmm. And so we have to reinforce that idea that you're equipped to counsel. You don't need to be certified to be involved in a loving, truthful conversation and trying to help them.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's really important to see, and a lot of churches have benefited. When another local pastor has told us lots that the elevation of just the conversation of people within his church has been an observable blessing that he's seen from a number of people from his church coming through the program as well. So,
yeah, praise the Lord.
Yeah, absolututely. So when Cornerstone, when we started this, like I mentioned before, it's not a huge church. I think some pastors or other staff members or people in church might think, oh, we can't do a counseling training center. We're not a big mega church. We don't have the resources. What would you say to somebody who's thinking along those lines, maybe some encouragement that they can do this, or maybe some tips on how to do it as well?
Mm-hmm. I just had that discussion with a gentleman at another church out of state, and one of the important things is that the leadership of the church, the elders, pastor, or however their church is set up, a deacon board, that they understand why this is an important ministry of the church. Because I think it's difficult to have an effective, fruitful ministry if the leadership of the church doesn't understand it.
Yeah.
They're not behind it. So if you're a lay person or an associate pastor, you know, you want to help cast the vision and make sure that the leadership is on board with it. And then at a smaller church, maybe it's just you. Hopefully you can invest in somebody who would grow in their understanding of biblical counseling, have some experience, and be willing to join you. Because I don't think it would be hard to do it alone. You need a team.
Yeah.
So recruit some members, put together your team. The training center certification is not based on, you know, you got to be a certain size of church. They never asked us that. I mean, at some point in there, they're asking how big your church, but not for the purpose of yes or no on the certification. So I think if you really see how viable a ministry it is and you believe in biblical counseling, you can do it. And the nice thing is there's a template and steps to follow. So the process was pretty straightforward.
Yeah, the process is well laid out by ACBC or other organizations. And also the other thing I thought was helpful too, and I would as an encouragement, is we didn't try to recreate the wheel. Mm-hmm. We talked to other churches that already had established training centers, and that was a helpful tool. Yeah. And if you're listening and you're thinking, how do I do this? Reach out to somebody who has already done it, because it's not, yeah, don't try to do it on your own and don't try to reinvent the wheel.
Exactly.
For sure. What are some of the snares that maybe came up in the process or that could come up in the process that we either overcame or you saw? You're really good at seeing snares in the road ahead of time and swerving around them. But what are some things that might hang people up in that process?
One of them might be that if you're doing the ACBC route, want a training center, they put a provision or a condition on there in there that you need two people to complete their ACBC certification in order for you to become a official ACBC certified training center. And that can be a little bit overwhelming, like, all right, who are those two people?
Yeah.
And so, you know, in our counseling training, we're looking, could that be one? And then you want them to be faithful to follow up. But I think that if you're intentional in communicating that and find some potential students that would do that, that's a teamwork, you know. Yeah, we're teaching, but we're going to help you to complete this process. So that was a little bit of a hang-up. In fact, the second one in our training center was coming towards the deadline, and so I'm speaking with Wayne Johnston saying, can you guys give us a little grace here? We're pretty close. And it all worked out.
Yeah, yeah.
I think other hiccups were, there's a lot of formatting, you know, when it comes to syllabus. Mm. Remember that? And all the, you know, 1A, one little one, little B, you know, just making sure that the syllabus looks presentable, but it's easy to follow.
Yeah.
It takes time. It takes effort, a lot of communication, consistent meetings to get it done, trying to stay on schedule. It's easy if you don't have a deadline, then you just kind of keep putting it off.
Yeah, that's true. And you were really good at being disciplined to keep the team on task. And we had weekly meetings where we would set aside time just to focus on getting the counseling training center up and running. So that was another helpful thing too. But yeah, identifying those students and encouraging, spurring them on. I think that wasn't something that was necessarily in the template, but something we identified pretty early on. If we have this time frame, we need to be proactive in that.
Right.
So yeah, don't sit back on your haunches. Be proactive. Go after it. What do you, any other thoughts that you would, or tips you would give to a church that was thinking about a counseling center or a counseling training center, just other things maybe I haven't asked about?
I think that having some kind of team, maybe a board that's overseeing it, it could be elders, could be lay people, but just let's have a team. I believe in the value of teamwork because everybody's got different strengths and weaknesses, and we all glean and help each other. So as long as there's a common commitment to biblical counseling, we're going to help each other in this. And I think we experienced that as we went through that whole process.
Yeah.
So some of us are very detail-oriented, others are very vision-oriented, and we've got to help each other. And I think together, it came together wonderfully.
Yeah, yeah. Don't find a bunch of people who have the same strengths. And sometimes sharpening, sanctifying that process might be. It's important. Yeah. No, it's good. What do you see as for the future of the counseling Cornerstone Counseling Training Center?
I think for the training center, what you see is in God's providence, we've expanded our campus here. Mm-hmm. So now we have a dedicated building to the counseling training center. So now we have some counseling offices over there, a little bookstore, a big classroom. So I think that the ministry can continue to grow as well as there's opportunities for counseling to happen here. People even from other churches, again, trying to bring the pastors into it and get them trained or other leaders trained and developing a team of counselors. Doesn't have to all be from our church in the community that can further this training center and take some of it off the load of me as a senior pastor here and other pastors on staff here at Cornerstone.
Yeah, that's great. Maybe one, I think one concern that comes up with some pastors as they're thinking about a counseling training center, or even maybe a pastor who's likes biblical counseling but can't do the training themselves, but there's a training center nearby, they might get a little concerned that, oh man, if I send people there, they'll start attending that church and kind of that sheep stealing fear. What would you say to maybe assuage that fear?
I think you know, if you have the training center or you're offering training, taking the initiative and telling those pastors, please, I'm encouraging to send students over, and I promise the intent is not that they start attending my church. I'm trying to equip them to be a blessing to you and your ministry. You'll be grateful to have people who can help you counsel in the church. And when they understand that, I think they can relax a little bit and say, yeah, why would I not promote this, you know, and encourage people to go?
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Well, we're almost out of time, but I always reserve the last couple minutes for something we call 2-minute favorites. Are you ready?
Ready.
Let me pull up the questions, and then I will start my timer to make sure we stay on track. So this is just kind of for fun and so people can get a chance to get to know you a little better. And time begins now. What is your favorite food?
Sea scallops. Big sea scallops.
What's the your favorite word?
Excellent.
Favorite?
Most excellent.
Most excellent. What's your least favorite word?
I don't know if you say it's a word. It's the saying shut up. I hate when people say shut up, you know.
What's the favorite gift you've ever received?
Probably a Nishiki 10-speed bicycle when I was in sixth grade.
All right. What's your favorite gift you've ever given?
I gave my wife, I surprised her on her 25th anniversary, taking her to Alaska on a cruise, and I surprised her with my brother and his wife, which my wife enjoys, my sister-in-law.
Yeah, yeah.
coming on that same cruise, and my brother being an airline pilot can travel, you know, with the airlines. It was very short notice. It was one of those discount cruises I found that, wow, I can't believe the price on this. And he was able to do it, and we bumped into them in the airport. Actually, we didn't bump in. They were hiding to surprise us, and Paula said to Cheryl when she saw her, what are you doing here? She just thought we happened to be at Anchorage Airport together. And Cheryl said, we're going on the cruise with you. And Paula just started crying. She was so surprised, so happy. So
that
was a pretty sweet gift.
That is good. Good to clarify that's what your wife wanted. favorite book of the Bible?
I would say the Book of Romans.
What's your favorite sport?
I was a soccer player my whole life. You could say it's in my blood, German and Colombian. But I actually really enjoy watching football.
All right.
I think you know that. We would schedule certain meetings around the football schedule.
Especially the Army or Air Force Navy or Army Navy game. Yeah, especially. Time's up. All right. Well, John Mark, thank you so much for joining us today, but also thank you for your pastoral ministry, friendship, and leadership in my life. I've really benefited from it.
Thank you, brother. You've been a great blessing to me, to this church, and now a great blessing to BCC. So,
thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of 1514. If you'd like to know more about the Biblical Counseling Coalition, please visit our website at biblicalcc.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at biblicalcc or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Biblical Counseling Coalition. Thanks again for listening.